Now, I've just been learning about an amazing bird named E7, which is not a great name, is it, to call a bird E7? Anyway, E7 flew for 9 days straight from Alaska to New Zealand. 10,000 Ks she flew without stopping to refuel. And she's just one of thousands of migratory birds which cross the planet every year, many of them stopping in Australia. And these extraordinary feats of migration are the inspiration for a new exhibition about our own human stories of migration. It's called Home to a Home, and it's brought together by artist and curator Kate Gorringe-Smith. Hi, Kate.
Hello, Michael. Thanks for having us.
And we're also meeting two of the participants, Min Phan.
G'day, Michael.
And Pamela C.
Hello.
Hello, Pamela. Well, thank you for joining us in our Brisbane studios. So, Kate, tell us about E7.
Oh, E7 is a bar-tailed godwit. And
it sounds like an insult, you bar-tailed godwit. What's a bar-tailed godwit?
So we're talking about a group of birds called shorebirds, which everybody will have seen and many people won't have noticed because they're the little birds that gather in flocks on the very edges of the tide. They're often just brown, so you might see them out of the corner of your eye. But they follow the tide out and feed on the mudflats and sand, and then they come back as the tide comes back in. And we have 36 or 37 species of them in Australia. I don't know if we can technically call them Australian birds because they don't breed here, but they do spend most of their year here, about 6-7 months.
Oh, I think they sound like Aussie birds
to
me.
I think so too.
They sound very democratic.
I think we can claim them.
Little brown birds.
Exactly, little brown birds.
So E7's a tiny little bird, is
well,
she?
Well, I think her body is about as big as a pigeon, but she's got long legs and a beautiful long beak that's slightly decurved. Mm. It was in 2006 or 7, and people have been tracking these birds for many, many years because they knew that they didn't breed here and they wanted to find out where they go. So they used to put leg flags on them. But the problem with leg flagging is you have to be able to spot the bird on its migratory route. And especially where they breed up in Alaska and Siberia, they spread out all across the tundra. And also they're incredibly cryptic. They molt into a breeding plumage that matches the environment there. So very, very hard to spot them.
You don't know if it's the same bird.
You do, because your leg flag will have a code. Leg flags, yeah, coloured flags with a little. So E7 would have been flagged E7, hence the poetic name. But you see, then they developed wonderful new technology in conjunction with NASA and the Miranda Shorebird Centre, and they were able to implant a satellite tracker. And not only did it allow the researchers to follow the journey of E7 herself, but it also confirmed for the first time definitely that the birds actually do this amazing migratory trick.
You mean she's got a little chip in her head or somewhere?
No, it's actually in her body, I think. And aerial.
That's the word.
Right. So you see photos of her and you'll see the aerial on her, which probably also, but it's not heavy enough. It was in the female's body because the female is bigger than the male,
right,
and she could handle it. So that's how they knew where she went. But she did this amazing trip back across the ocean without stopping.
Now, this is an art show.
It is.
We should talk about art. How does art come into this, Kate?
So I started, I'm a printmaker. I'm based in Melbourne and I make lino cuts and etchings. And my family and I travelled for my husband's work. We went and lived in England when the children were just small for 3 years and we came back. And we girded ourselves up to going to England, you know, because it was a new place and the children would be at different schools and yada, yada, yada. Coming home, we thought, well, we're just going home. And actually, it was much, much harder to settle in back home again than it was to settle in London for various reasons.
So are you telling me this story because it put you in mind of migration?
Yes, exactly. And my mother also is a English. My parents migrated as 10-pound Poms. So it was coming back made me think, well, that was difficult for me and I've got so many resources. And I wanted to find a way to express that through my art because that's how artists deal with difficult situations. Mm. And I came upon the shorebirds and I thought that's perfect because they always feel this tug of two homes, just like my mother does, you know, London and Melbourne. And yet they are actually biologically compelled to always travel, you know, like a cursed princess, to go from home to a home in, you know, perpetuity. But the other side of it is it's such a beautiful story. Their journeys link 23 countries. The route they fly every year is called the East Asian Australasian Flyway. There's a lot of hope. The birds are long-lived. In their lifetime, they can fly more miles than from the Earth to the Moon. So there was so much in that story that related both to the feelings of longing and loss and hope of migration. And it just, and I also thought, well, if I, as such a privileged traveller, had such a hard time, yeah. My God, just imagine people who have nothing.
Let's talk to Min Phan.
Exactly.
Min Phan, does this story resonate with you, this bird thing?
Oh, yes. I mean, when I heard of the proposal to do this show, I just thought the poetry of the metaphor of the bird, just this apolitical, even visually pretty humble kind of creature that just flies instinctively, you know, that drew me to the instinct to move to a safer home.
Mm.
And so that resonated deeply with my own background because I came here as a 7-year-old boat person.
Yeah, with your father and your brother.
That's right.
Yeah, and you've told that story a lot. You've worked through that in your work
That's
a lot.
Right.
Now, this time you're telling the story of your mother and your uncle. So they came at a different time, did they?
Yes. So the work that I've done sort of is more of like a bookend to my own story because my uncle left Vietnam. I'm Vietnamese, so at the end of the Vietnam War, there was a lot of upheaval, and a lot of people, you know, were known as boat people who fled by boat. But a small portion escaped by plane, and he flew to Paris, to France, and was able then to support our family back home, allowing us to escape. And then when we were able to come to Australia through the reunification program back then in 1983, my mother came on a plane to Australia here. So there were these two flights, the flight preceding my boat trip and the flight that closed the journey of my own boat trip that resonated with me.
So your work is a piece of video art that uses an item of your mother's clothing and a burning paper plane.
Yes.
Tell us about these.
So so imagine a screen and on the background is a traditional blue Vietnamese dress, the áo dài, with embroidered white phoenix on it. And in the foreground is, what you see is a fire that burns and slowly, as the fire subdues, paper plane is formed and then it takes off. And you know, how I've done that is just basically to film a burning plane and then to reverse it.
I was streets ahead of you. He ran the film backwards, I thought.
That's
how he did that.
Yeah.
And the phoenix, of course, is a bird, the bird that rises from the ashes.
From the ashes, that's right.
So is the phoenix a traditional symbol in Vietnamese culture?
Yes, it's one of the four sort of quite, you know, four mythical creatures, the turtle, there's the lion, the dragon and the phoenix. And, you know, there is a lot of overlap with Chinese culture in those sort of iconography. But, yes. And my uncle's name is Phoenix. Fung.
Phoenix.
It means phoenix.
This is fantastic. Everything's related to everything else, which is so often the way here on Books and Arts. Pamela C., you're sitting there patiently in our Brisbane studio. Let me just explain what's going on here. This is Books and Arts, and we're talking about a project called Home to a Home, in which the process of human migration, the experience of human migration, has been linked with the phenomenon of birds migrating, these great migrations that take birds all around the earth. And it's been put together by the curator, Kate Gorringe-Smith. And you're also meeting two of the artists, Min Phan and now Pamela C. So Pamela, let's talk about your work. You've cut out a cumulus cloud out of something called bituminous felt.
Bituminous felt's also known as coal paper.
What is it?
Oh, it's like this compound where they take bitumen and they make this sort of like a tar out of it, and they lay it over sort of a fibrous substrate. And in other applications, mostly in colder climates, they use it as for waterproofing and roofs. particularly when it snows.
Oh, I can see exactly that. It's a heavy black sort of fabric that you, yes, as you say, use for waterproofing.
I was interested in it because I was hoping to create some kind of cutout form of coal, of a coal paper coal cloud. I'm interested in things like pollution and coal in particular because of Australia likes to export a lot of coal. And I think that the pollution over in Asia, they import a lot of it into China, for instance. I have a lot of friends and some relatives which left Asia. And one of the reasons that they cited was to find a better environment to raise their children, much like some other migratory species.
And how do birds come into this?
Well, I have been doing a number of participatory community art projects in different countries, including the US and China and Canada. And one of them a number of years ago was about the brown cloud and pollution. And when I was putting that together, I workshopped it with a couple hundred kids in these different countries. I was interested in the idea that birds and their migratory patterns were affected by that pollution, so they actually changed their routes in account of it.
Oh, to avoid the bad air.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's your own background, Pamela? You were born in Australia. What's the heritage there?
Well, my grandfather came from Putian in southern China, and he left in the 1940s. At the time, there was civil war and there was a Japanese occupation, and he went by boat to Malaysia, and then he had his wife, my grandmother, was sent over to him, and they had, I think, seven children. And my father came to Australia in the, I guess, what would be termed the Colombo era. So it was there was a plan that was an agreement that was that had come to pass in Colombo in Sri Lanka in, I think it was 1949, 1950, sometime like that. But the result was that a number of, by 1985, about 20,000 students from overseas had come to Australia. And the whole idea was to strengthen relationships within the region as some sort of initiative to prevent the spread of communism.
Well, I think it's that you can actually see the Colombo Plan as the sort of first step in Australia post-war towards a sort of more multicultural, more embracing culture, which is the dominant culture in Australia today. Yeah. So, Kate, as we wind up with just a minute to go, give us a sense of the overall project. We've got these two marvellous artists. Who else is
We've got involved? 16 artists altogether, and what we'd like to do is invite visitors who come to the exhibition to treat their visitors a journey so that they travel as well through the exhibition. We've got they come in through the front door and they go up the stairs. It's quite a maze of a gallery. And in each space, artists have presenting their own sort of views. And some are quite quiet and peaceful. And some, like Minns and Miley T, who's coming down from Sydney, there's fire. And it's about the middle floor is more about the movement and the search for a home. And then once you get up to the top level, it's supposed to be peaceful and quiet, and visitors can actually contribute to a community art project and contribute their idea of what home is.
I'm a bit worried about that little bird with an aerial projecting out of its body.
She's okay. They've seen her since. Yeah, they have.
I've been thinking about that the whole time.
No,
my mind's been divided during the conversation.
It's barely longer than her tail, so she's okay, trust me.
She's all right.
Yeah. The scientists love her.
So little E7.
They have her best interests at heart.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
It's been lovely to meet you all. So the show's called From Home to a Home, A Story of Migration, and the exhibition is on from the 25th of November at the Brunswick Street Gallery in the Melbourne suburb of Fitzroy, and it's brought together by the artist Kate Gorringe-Smith, and we've met two of the participants this morning as well, artist Min Phan and Pamela C. And if you head along to the Books and Arts website, you'll find all of the details.